a minute ago with making, the universe one with everything, as it were. And now I'm going to bring up yet another, there we go, another one of these lovely slides, and say, let's go ahead and begin, shall we? So, okay, everyone. So thank you for those of you who are here. I appreciate you. My apologies. I reserve the word hate for a few things, but I don't de never deny it, and I hate being late. So my apologies, and let's just jump right in. So as you can see, welcome to the 2026 Overleafs forecast. I heard some discussions earlier about some of my colleagues and their forecasts. As you know, last year we got that it was an artisan year, and this year is something a little different. We'll go through that in just a second. But the theme, as you can see here, is all hands on deck. And many of you are here on deck. Congratulations and welcome in. We have a few newcomers tonight that I want to acknowledge. John Thrasher is here after a longtime Michael student who I invited. A few newbies whose faces or names I'm not all that familiar with. So welcome. And I want to set, as I said on the first slide, context, because context is everything for these presentations. Remember, folks, we are in the emergence of the mature soul era. And I found this quote from this early proto-socialist, Peter Kropotkin, who said something that I felt was pretty profound. As you can see, it says, "Competition is the law of the jungle." And of course, that's the young soul ethos. But where we're at in the history of the world is what he says in the second half. Cooperation is the law of civilization. And it's activities like this, and activities like being able to connect with other people, that form those cooperative bridges that make things happen. So, another feature of the mature soul era, then, as we jump into this and speak about this, is something that the consortium and I have been talking about now for a number of years. And that is, remember, we are exiting the era where you could simply operate on binary yes, no, on, off kind of black and white thinking. And you are now having to embrace the mature soul, assimilative axis, scholar-oriented, expansionary reality that complexity is what rules the universe. Not just simple on, off, not either or, not good, bad, right, wrong. It's a continuous overlap. And so I found this quote by Octavia Butler, for some of you know, as a science fiction author and a futurist. And so we want to reiterate what she's saying. There's no single answer that will solve all of or your own problems of the future. There is no magic bullet. You guys are creating it. Instead, there are 1,000 answers of which you can participate in. And as you see there, she says, at least 1,000. But you have to choose to be a part, to be an active participant in the forward motion. And by active participant, it doesn't mean that all of you have to go suddenly become weightlifters and marathon runners and anything that's extreme, but just rather that you put yourself in the mode of not looking backwards to see what was, but look forwards to start seeing what you can do, you can make, and how it goes from there. So, starting this off, again, still working on context. You know, many of you, of course, experienced yourself, and some of you just in your chatter a little bit still sound surprised that the world is somehow in upheaval. We can tell you, folks, it's going to be that way. Most of you are gonna, most of the fact that many of you are in your 60s, 70s, and a few in your 80s, you're gonna ride the tide of the seeing the world go out that way. But it doesn't mean that your own individual soulverse and what you experience in your life necessarily is gonna be one of upheaval. It just means that you will be in the experience of watching it all around you. And in that, then, as that sign said, you know, maybe not your best year for some of you. Some of you we know have had very wonderful things happen this year. And even if it wasn't your best year, did you learn something like it points out there? And because if you did, then you are starting to activate the gears of moving, the potential for moving forward and having other things, you know, come into being, or more specifically, you come more into a new state of your own being. But for sure, as the last phrase on this page says, it's time to adjust your stance. Every one of you, all of you, this is a dynamic energy. Now, again, one of the things that we want to say that we have been also suggesting to you is to remind you about the nature of the Tao, because we still find that many of our students tend to take our teaching as some kind of a new doctrine or harbinger, rather than what we're calling a large language model about the structure of human design and nature. It's and the nature of the universe, that is. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, the Tao basically is leaving it to you. It is we, as you can see, it says God here, but as you know, we substitute the word Tao because we want to remove any notions of gender orientation from the Tao. It is both masculine and feminine, not male and female, but it is all a unity consciousness. So when it is observing itself, just as all its creations, as you can see from the image there, it does not have a directed outcome. It experiences it all when it spins out itself. And what is itself? All of creation and all of essences. And that's why we say it's, if you will, watching. You can even think of the Tao itself, ladies and gentlemen, as the upper octave of the assimilative axis. Instead of just the scholar being there, the Tao would be in its exalted place. And it's seeing, it's watching, it's letting us, through individual free choices and collective choices, to see what we're going to do here. Now, again, because it's here to experience it all, there's no guarantee. When the infinite souls show up, they can be an inspiring factor, a motivating factor, sometimes a leading factor, but they are not saviors, they're not rescuers, and it is still within us, whatever they may trigger or inspire. So tonight, as you listen to this presentation, what we hope you bring to your hearing and your comprehension is that a realization about the complexity that exists in Overleaf that has not really been all that emphasized before. There is a tendency to speak of it in binary. Overleaves are archetypal energies, folks. They are archetypal. And that means from the positive to negative poles, there is a vast array of possibilities. A vast array of possibilities, not just either or of how they show up. And then when you look at an overleaf chart of, say, an individual, realize that in those spans is an incredibly unique set of possibilities for an individual to be just that, an individual. Why? Because that's what the Tao wanted. It doesn't want just, yes, you have, you may have these archetypes in common, but how they manifest, how they display themselves, and so forth will vary. And in that variance, we want you to hear that as a liberation. And yes, we mean liberation, not freedom. Liberation, because liberation is to liberate, or to libre is to have the ability to move unencumbered. Freedom is something of the mind. It's abstract. It's conceptual. But your liberty is what you exercise. And in the case of the current world, what you see really up for grabs as you see forces trying to contain your liberties. All right. So having made that point about stereotypes and archetypes and complexity, we have one last point to make to try and honor something that we know all of you have experienced. And you can see it out there. Folks, the more that you walk into this area of complexity, your feelings of overwhelm are completely normal when you fuse the two. By normal, it doesn't mean pleasant. It doesn't mean you like it, and it doesn't certainly grant you the automatic going to places of certainty, other than the certainty inside of yourself that you create by becoming deeper and more deeply rooted to your own beingness, like Janaea was talking about a little earlier. And why this is significant is because so many of our students have expressed a hopelessness and a despair and this feeling of fear around the nature of the changes that are going on in the world today. And we understand those things, and we understand how difficult it can be to deal with this. And we in no way want to disparage that fear, that pain, that uncertainty. But we often hear, oh, we want to hear something hopeful from you, consortium. We want to see something good happen in the world. Notice you are still anchoring your hope to external events in the world happening to you. And what we'd like to suggest is that it truly, truly, that you create hope by what you do in your worlds. Worlds meaning literally, you know, each of you being the center of your own world that we have often called the soliverse. And collective soliverses is, if you will, the universe or the omniverse. So in your reorientation, we're giving you again this context reorienter, this fixer, where it's suggesting to you that you have two options when you face fear. And that is the old way, which is forget everything and run, respond to chaos through fight or flight or freeze, or to face fear as a signal, as a way of saying, these are the places where my old boundaries, old limits, old Maya have governed me, and to turn and face everything and rise to meet them. And is that conscious creation? In every teaching, in every philosophical way that we know, not just our own, that is the manifestation of conscious beingness. So, having set all that into motion, and having given you that as an overall container for tonight's talk, let's talk about our view of what the Tao has set up as a container for human consciousness to work with. And notice the way we phrase that, set up in human consciousness to work with these overlays. Doesn't mean all of you are going to magically turn into warriors, which is the role of 2025. It's the second year in this 25-year arc that we talked about back in the late 2024 that, you know, all of you are in the midst of. Now, it is a sage caste warrior year. So when you know what casting is, for those of you who are students of this teaching and how we use that concept, it means literally that warrior is the content, the meat. And then literally casting would be the container by which that energy beams through. So as you can see there, we would say that since the sage is the archetype of communication and dissemination, understanding that is about the voice, and given that the warrior is about challenge, competency, and literally the defense of anchoring into, the physical from the metaphysical, your voice becomes the powerful agent. Now, what kind of ways will that then follow through? And of course, that means it is the goal of discrimination. Excuse me, the goal of dominance. Pardon me. The discrimination was what you just came from in 2025. And it was a lot of sorting going on and a lot of rejecting or coming clearer about what your prejudices, biases, or real principles were. Now, in dominance, dominance is just not about the energies of who is better than whom, okay, or top-down vertical power. Dominance is also about where you inside yourself, how do you elevate someone or some principle or even yourself, and or diminish someone, some principle, or even yourself. And coming to terms with that as making yourself, if you will, the king goal. And we'll speak to all of these as we go tonight. The attitude for the year will be the pragmatist or pragmatism here. And the energy of the pragmatist attitude is going to go along with what you'll see here as the center of intellectual in the moving part. And we'll speak to pragmatism before again jumping down. And because pragmatism is about how are you going to once again highlight reality for yourself? And you notice how we put there. Pragmatism is going to take you to two places in your goal to efficiently or dogmatically make decisions. It's going to take you to the positive pole of realism, which is objectivism, to see what is tangible, material, factual. And that is hard for many people. It's difficult because the other part,
It's particularly the rate.
to the negative pole of idealism, which is the familiar places that you hold your ideas, whether you're an idealist in this teaching or not. Idealists in this teaching will have a much more familiar, perhaps, exploration of where they naively may by naively we mean that they're not stupid or necessarily ignorant, but rather that they have narrowed, comfortably narrowed their points of view down to of say a handful of concepts like their personal dogma. And they may not even be fully conscious. They may operate at the subconscious level. It will be moving you between that. You knowing that this year, that you are being called to slide between that, what we said, hard realism, where you can see verifiable facts, as opposed to those comfy fallback beliefs, that will be your challenge. Now, the chief feature. We only got one this year, and it's both fun for some of you and a doozy for others. And it is the chief feature of impatience. Now, you'll see in a few moments that we emphasize here frustration and intolerance because we really see impatience working in the negative pole for most people in a reactive way. But many of you know that within this teaching, early on, all chi features have been relatively vilified and told that there's something that you should exterminate or extinguish. And we agree that you should learn to keep them in check. You should learn to understand when they activate in you. But ultimately, remember, chi features also have a positive pole. And that positive pole is an indicator. When you use a reaction to fear, which is what chi feature is, in a way that asserts something. Now, when we move on to the mode, This will particularly be important because the mode is passion. And of the seven modes, passion mode is probably and or arguably the most emotionally enervating and activating. And we use both those terms at the same time. Enervating meaning it can grip you, or it can activate you into a full sense of either epiphany or highly charged reactivity. And when you put them together in this mix, you know, it is, we want you to be able to understand you are being invited this year to use yourself to take a stance and not be just electrified by this energy. Because if you do, you will be drawn in to the negative poles of this. Now, we've mentioned the intellectual center, which some of you know, of course, we refer to in more common parlance as the mind. So we're talking about the fifth chakra, and to some extent, it's sliding to the sixth chakra, the voice and the mind. And it is literally the way that you decide that you are going to orchestrate your understanding of things on a more conscious level. And by the way, conscious doesn't mean that it's particularly self-aware. It just means that you can kind of recall it. Your challenge is to utilize your mind in a very deliberative form, like you were challenged to last year with the very tough goal of discrimination and the very tough attitude of cynic. Many of you probably rang out in that emotionally centered year a lot of understanding, or at least a lot of uncomfortable awarenesses about yourself and other people. Now, this is again an ordinal year in that ordinal exalted axis. I mean, excuse me, a scale of scope. And when we use it now, in our terminology as consortium, we have expanded the meaning to mean more personal, but also meaning you find these aspects first in your individual self, and then how do you then turn them and contribute them out to the world? So the scope ordinal. Now, the masculine and feminine energy ratio is perfectly balanced. It's perfectly balanced. That means the aptitudes and pitfalls of both the masculine energy and feminine energy are available to you in equal balance. And you see our basic kind of thumbnail or distillation of it. You could choose whether to make something or allow something to happen, or to be more active and paddle, swim, or float. Now, neither of these ranges is right or wrong, good or bad. If anything, the equal balance of this will make you have to be far more vigilant about which you choose, and to pay attention to the consequences of your choice. Frequency, then. Frequency is lower this year from the, 60 and 70s that you've had in the prior couple of years, but it's still approaching, on the more fast end. But it does allow you, since it's more to the center point, an opportunity that you might find useful. And that is, while many of you will still feel yourself being pulled or pushed through this year by the sheer number of changes that are going to happen out there, but also the sheer number of differences and options that suddenly are very close in your own worlds that you have to make selections from. And in doing that, at least you can settle in a bit with some of these overleaves to, deal with what option you want to execute. Now, granted, chief feature of impatience is always wanting to go faster, go more. You're not going to like that stifled experience of trying to discern. But that's one of the challenges of working with impatience this year. Now, the needs of the nine needs that we see emphasized are in this order, security, acceptance, and power. Now, we have to tell you, we found these three very interesting as a trio. Power was there last year, and so was communication and community. But these are interesting. Security being the first, because what it's inviting you to do, what the nine needs singularly represent, all of them, is for those of you who know about the nine needs, you could say that they are associated with different chakra points. And what they do is, as individuals throughout their incarnations, usually choose a set of three that they're going to emphasize in pursuing, not exactly as a goal, but say as an underpinning or a footing for which will give them a sense of the best operation of their own overleaves and their own way of being. So the fact that all of you are being presented this security one, security is the first chakra, folks. It's literally the one that says, you know, how are you eating? How is your health? How is your material security, well-being, your safety? What are the ways that you experience yourself at any one given time, not being so activated by fear? And by fear, we're talking about literally fear to your, you know, personal well-being. We're talking about the flight or fight response or the insecurity response. And of course, this will be big in the world because more and more, as themes we'll mention later, with the power discrepancy on the planet, you know, getting more and more broad and more intense, more and more people are going to feel the insecurity. Now, the second one then, acceptance in this, is acceptance why? Well, because many of you have highfalutin notions of your own sense of what you have to have as security. And in fact, many of you would need to come to terms with, you can pare down and live with a lot less. And by lot less, we're not talking about just your material goods. We're talking about a lot less of your opinions, your judgments, your precepts, and your sense of so-called boundaries that are really often, you know, your sense of fear keeping other people out. And you're afraid to, and you keep people out because you can use it, especially you old souls. Well, they're younger souls and they don't understand me, or, you know, they're just not enlightened or whatever, and on. Instead, acceptance means accepting yourself, saying, you know what? I am not so important that I don't need anybody. Let's flip that phrase around and just say, I am in need of others. And I can accept them where they're at. And in that then comes the third need, power. Because we want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that no one individual by themselves is going to be able to govern or escape the consequences of the world situation without being empowered by one another or empowering each other. So these overleaves and these challenges and these themes are the context in which your own overleaves, your own choices will come up and that you need to work with. Now, one of some of the things that we're going to talk about as we explore each of these, and we'll rehash them, we'll talk more before we get to the place of where you folks can ask questions, is that, remember, this is a mature soul warrior kind of attitude. And as it says on the slide here, you know, stop fearing anger, especially your own. But because anger is a real and vital part of your energy system, it is a place where you declare a boundary and you say enough. And if you are being conscious and deliberate in your anger, you understand that you use it to identify what you love and value and then fight for it. And when you fight for it, it isn't always going to be nice. Yes, kindness is wonderful. It is, in fact, the way that the ultimate energy is going to continue to progress. But as, you know, this humorous phrase has to say, kindness is your go-to, but know when to say fuck off. Know when to say no, enough is enough, and to lay down that boundary and to not just participate or shrink away. So let's talk about warrior energy some more. Warrior energy is meant to explore the mindset of challenge, competition, and competency. So things that'll be happening of high interest and high noteworthiness in your world will be things like, you know, issues of money and yes, the economy, but also for you as individuals, how do you use or waste your money and where do you put it or keep it? Issues about sex and sexuality, because warriors are very much grounded into their body. So, you know, when we talk about especially issues about sex and sexuality, we're not even talking about sexual identification. That was more in the artisan year and your relationship to it. We're talking about more about how people are seeing just how much sex abuse is out there. And of course, you all are familiar with the controversies that are going on in the public domain, you know, about the your president, but way more than that, it is about the fight over your own, you know, rights to how you utilize your bodies and how you stay grounded in them. Now, in lieu of places where call it pseudo or symbolic sexuality that warriors particularly favor are things like sports and contests and those kind of aspects of you know competitive events or challenges that happen within your society, but how they're going about, you know, and how you approach them. You can either approach them as the knight or the guardian, or you can look to the negative pole of the warrior energy, and you can just deal with it as the mercenary. And the mercenary is a warrior that has no principle. The warrior that literally fights for its own material gains. It isn't necessarily even loyal, but it will look to allegiances to those that guarantee its own forward advancement. And so these other qualities that you see, what we've listed here under the negative pole warrior in your social sphere are liable to be present. And yes, they are not going to be pretty. Now, will many of you or any of you be likely to be personally touched in these things? Because remember, as an ordinal year, that's what we're talking about. Are you personally affected? And the answer is, probably not. Oh, yes, you may, because you, as older souls, have much greater empathy and are much more aware of your mirror neurons and feel the vibrational shocks of these things. But will you have ICE agents battering down your doors? No. Will you have the kind of shocks or violences or tragedies and that sort of thing happen to you? Most probably not. But nonetheless, you will see them in greater quantity and still a continuation and even extension into this year. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it has been mentioned to us, are we speaking to more than just the United States? And the answer is yes, we are. Issues in the Soviet Union, the war in the Ukraine, the balances and interesting shifting of alliances that are going on between right and center parties all throughout Europe, in the southern Asian continents, the galvanizing of forces that are going on there, but also in technological advance. These kind of energies are becoming, you know, the foundations empowering the surveillance state, all of the surveillance state, not just the American state. But lastly, we just want to talk about this because it's useful to mention. You know, we've said that the young soul era may be here, but remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's had 200,000 years of development through the first 100,000 years of the infant soul period, the second 10,000 years of the baby soul period, and the last several thousand years of the young soul period. All of them are embedded and compressed together, and they've had a heck of a history together. Now, granted, you've had mature souls on this planet, and you've had mature soul institutions and philosophies that have emerged in countries that are mature soul, and even a couple of who are old soul that have emerged. But remember, the baby soul warrior ethos is still what infuses much of the thinking, militarism, that is out there in the world. And you're seeing kind of a return to that. And you can see some of their, they'll cheat, they'll vanquish others, they'll kill, they'll gamble on the pain of others, aka known as cruelties and atrocities. And they will always decry, you know, that they are on the good side of authority. And in the last phrase there, it is the soldier that claims, "I'm just following orders." And you know that that kind of obedience and that kind of displacement of personal responsibility is the old way of being. And that is something that has to be set into place by deliberate, conscious determination and adherence to law, which is what has been formed at one of the first jumps in the mature soul era, which happened around the American Revolution. A lot of those precepts, a lot of those concepts were mature and old soul notions set down on paper, not because the United States was suddenly a mature soul country, but rather like what happens with all soul age evolutionary steps, is that it was a first, you know, stake driven into the ground as that progression happened. It happened again then during the Civil War, and then again during the Great Depression, and then after the Civil War, and then into the 60s and 70s, or excuse me, the Civil War, after the Second World War, and then into the 60s and 70s. And then in the 80s, it took a step backward. And then you saw that resurgence, and that, and now these two are almost on an even keel to each other, but which one will dominate? Because that's where the goal of dominance is being played out. Dominance is the king goal. It says you must stand and lead, or you will be dictated to. And as you notice, that's the positive and negative pole of this goal. There is no bystandering. There is no staying silent with a goal like this. I mean, you could literally do that, but you invite the forces of the negative pole. Now, when it comes to pragmatism, you notice that what we're showing on the slide is we are emphasizing, unfortunately, the negative pole. And understand that it is a learning method. There's nothing inherently evil about dogma or being in the negative pole even. But when we say unfortunately, when people are in dogma, it is as the phrase up there says, same old, and it goes unchallenged. Now, there is a huge part of your population that either all or partially is favoring this form of pragmatism. Why? Because dogma is simple. It copes with complexity through reductionism. And in doing that, it reduces everything to, you know, these almost unconsciously unchallenged aspects. And what the positive pole would indicate practicality, or what we also call effectiveness, is that you move into that that you slide over into that positive pole of realism, also the king attitude, and say, okay, what are the facts, ma'am, if you will? And if you do that and you have the courage to say, oh, maybe a lot of my beliefs were based in, you know, that I called my truth, were actually ways that I just preserved my own personal privileged illusions. Now, are you bad, wrong, sinful, should be ashamed for having your own personal privileged illusions? No. That is part of the evolutionary arc of an individual soul. It simply means that to the degree to which you want to free yourself and act more dynamically, like in the passion mode that we're going to talk about in a moment, it means you really start winnowing those things down. This phrase, killing knowledge and eliminating experience, is a bit of a warning that since, you know, the major evolutionary divergence that happened at the end of 2024 with the re-election of, you know, this administration, and therefore the invitation that it brought in to really let loose many of the forces and many of the ways to institutionally reduce knowledge. You all saw last year how many of the national websites, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we want to tell you something, that no matter what you think of your American government, your American government has worked well. The power brokers in it may have been, you know, nasty and corrupt, but not all of them. But the American bureaucracy built incredible institutions, many of which support you. What really happened, as this conspiracy theory would suggest, is that many of you just became more and more nervous and fearful. And then you just started to generalize your distrust. Well, what happened last year is you got to see that actualized distrust. The laying off of people who were committed to facts, to making sure that these bureaucratic institutions, whether Social Security, Medicare, the Department of Health, the Treasury, heck, I mean, going from the Department of Defense to the Department of War, all of these were seeking to kill off the old and really ultimately very well balanced ways of administering this massive institution you call the United States. But what it was trying to do is, in the erasure of those websites, the erasure of those people who operated those things, they were eliminating what's commonly called institutional knowledge. And that is a potentially devastating stage for both spiritual as well as social evolution. The next thing in eliminating experience that we just want to acknowledge is the fact that with the taking away of many of those jobs and the fact that artificial intelligence, AI, has been deployed so widely. By the way, AI isn't going to become Skynet. AI isn't going to become Vicky. AI isn't going to become any of these, you know, science fiction agents which turn around, you know, the Matrix and so forth, and just dominate you. No, your real enemy with AI are the business autocrats, the oligarchs that operate them, because they are using them to displace people, render people powerless, and to invite you to become complacent on your thinking. Many of you already use ChatGPT for all sorts of things. Is there any right or wrong in it? No. But understand that ChatGPT or any artificial intelligence model is you giving over your intellectual center. Instead of doing you critical thinking, you put it out there and eliminate yourself the struggle Yes, the struggle is what helped humanity strive and even thrive, wrestling with things and having to go through them. And ultimately, that is what passion mode invites into your space. The wrestling with the, you know, with the both emotional confluence of the big questions with your own values and your own knowledge of what is true about principles or values. But this year, yeah, notice again, we started by showing you the negative pole of passion mode. Why? Because as a current preponderance across, whether you call it right, left, or I suppose even indifferent, most people on this planet are really identified with whatever particular plans or groups or points of view that they consider their truth. And when a person is identified, another way of saying it is you're attached, and all your emotions, you know, can be poured into those. Now, again, that is not a good or bad thing, but it is something that has to be monitored, because when that happens and it becomes automatic, then you become almost just an automated reactive agent. Whereas passion mode in self-actualization, the card flipped over, should in fact be a source of pushing yourself beyond your boundaries, like in a baby emerging from a womb, continuously coming out anew, as opposed to, you notice we have the word quote there in self, around the word self, because we are also talking about that many of you have an ego identity, not bad, not wrong, just is, that you consider a self, that maybe with some deeper exploration, you realize is a kind of a comfortable place for you to be. And so with passion mode, it's going to ask you to really say, you know, okay, expressing my truth, just like Jesus. If for those of you ever heard of the term, the passion of the Christ, folks, passion mode isn't just about sexual orgasm. That's the 70s through now, new age connotation. No, passion was originally used as these deep emotional wrenchings, facing pain as you came into self-actualization through the higher centers. And notice we just invited you to hear, I mean, we just invoked our language schema with this. Having an identity can be very comfortable and very familiar. And that's why it's the negative pole. And that's why it also could be very comforting and even pleasurable to reassure yourself you have the stable knowledge of your, of a stable data of, yes, I know who I am. And everyone knows who they are to a certain degree, but it is never stagnant. But it feels safer when it's stagnant. It feels safer when you can go back and pet it like your little familiar dog and have it as something that you rely upon and say you never have to change, because you think everything is secure and familiar. So challenging your own self-deceptions. And even if they're not self-deceptions, just identifying, becoming clear of your identities. And here is the thought experiment that we challenge you with. Literally sit down. Many of you know what the Venn diagram is. The Venn diagram are concentric circles. Now, you just don't, you usually see like three or four, and where they overlap, the centerpiece is considered, you know, where they merge, right? But each of those concentric circles can be filled with different, you know, qualities. So for many of you, first of all, put down that you're white in one of the circles. Then put down another circle that you're, you know, that you'd be called, quote, middle class. Many of you could put in another one called that you're educated. Another ones that you could put down is that you're Americans. You could also put down that you're over 60. And realize that what you've done is you have identified certain kind of group identities that, whether you consider them much or not, are very important to where you're at in your life right now. Well, if you got down and started adding dozens of circles, you could realize that you could start adding lots of identities in there. And when you do, you're bringing to light how many of them actually have impact on your being and the way you express yourself. So when you're in an intellectually centered year like this one, and you have passion and warrior energy and impatience, it basically, the prescription, if we narrow it down, is decide and then act on it. Don't dawdle. Don't dawdle. You can also use the intellectual center to rationalize stalling, and you can also utilize it, you know, to make up so many reasons why you should or shouldn't do things, but that'll distract you. And impatience is not going to work in your favor that way. But this is where you have to really be clear about what impatience can and can't do, or should and shouldn't do. Sometimes a daring act, the audacity part, is absolutely necessary. But it doesn't mean you should jump forward into everything every time. But it does mean that once you make a decision, and you've probably been mulling it over, then act on it. Get it done. And whether that means picking up the phone and calling, you know, to check on someone or to make a connection or to cancel a, you know, cancel a subscription, whatever it may be, do it. Don't put it off, because some of the energy of this 25-year arc is going to challenge you old souls to not be complacent. Because folks, you old souls can be the most complacent of all the soul ages. We hate to burst a bubble in your, you know, self-perceived concept of enlightenment. You guys could use a little bit stepping back sometimes and realizing that, you know, just like age and senility, you know, it's easy to, quote, let it go. And yet those letting it goes may not really serve you. So a little function when you see these slides again, when we post this on the web, remember that your mind, the intellectual center, has three major functions, all of which we ask you to engage consciously and deliberately for your own benefit. The first one, as you can see, is critical thinking. Ask yourself, you know, okay, what's going on here? What are the facts? Not what your truth about something is. Remember, we want you to go in and we want you to use real knowledge and your own personal experiences and really winnow it down and say, okay, what's going on? And then if you want to create something, which we hope you do, use your visioning, use your aspirations, and understand your own native patterns, how you would go about creating from this. And then go about literally doing it by doing an invention. Now, passion mode and impatience definitely lend themselves to kind of a native improvisation. In other words, all right, trial and error, let's just jump into it. And by the way, the warrior energy is often quite willing to do that. It says, you know, what the hell? Let's do it. And so don't be afraid of trial and error failures. It's not the universe telling you that you shouldn't do it. No, it just means you are creating anew, and with each learning, you are going to be able to hone it. Now, we mentioned already again a few times this, and socially speaking, on the large scale, once again, we're emphasizing that, as we see it, the preponderance of the human race is stuck in the negative poles. And as you can see there, underneath the word intolerance is the word blame. And that's still really, really primary. That's really, really up. Now, holding somebody accountable is a different energy and a different standard than blame. It means you stand in the facts and you literally say, you know, I might have done this, but you did that. And we want resolution, not just continued exchange of hatreds. And that's a powerful place to be and a powerful understanding of a motivation to know. And as you can see, we're acting as part of a mob because right now there are two mobs in the world and they're squaring off against each other. So as has been pointed out, there will be continued disharmony and dismay for at least the next several years. All right, so here is our view of masculine and feminine energy. And we want to tell you folks, in the same way that we said to you all, that you old souls could use a little bit more efforting and a little less complacency. Understand that when we say this 50-50 choice in 2026, you know, you're going to feel it more or less easy to shift to whatever side, but know and realize that it's probably going to shift to whatever side you're accustomed to. And pragmatism is going to allow you to slide in there and be dogmatic on the negative poles if you want to be. And whether or not it has any consequence to you, you know, you get to see for yourself. But understand, these are the divisions of energies of the way we're talking about masculine and feminine. And Nan, we know you're going to love this because you know that it's primarily this channel that harps upon the notion that we want to make continuously clear. Masculine energy is not male sex. Feminine energy is not female sex. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that came through us many, many years ago, through our first channel in Sarah Chambers, and then reverberated by JP and also by Jose Stevens, is that the majority of actual females embodied in this world right now are more masculine energy, even though they're in female bodies. Why? Is because as a collective group, they were trying to bring about more openness and less of that divisiveness that you're seeing once again revisit, and bring, quote, equality to the sexes, but also eliminate that tendency for discrimination and exclusion, you know, that is a function of patriarchy, which is a masculine oriented in the way of rulership, which, by the way, is going to make a huge surge under the heading of dominance. And it will be up to you folks to turn around and resist that. So we just want to mention a few things. You know, many of you have talked about, well, I don't want to create karma. That seems to be an old soul kind of a personal, you know, inner fear statement that we've noticed through, you know, our years of teaching, many of you. And what we want to try to tell you folks is that if you have suppressed any emotion, you are also experiencing a self-karma. You can tell yourself whatever story or whatever inner narrative you like, but unless it's really, really factually correct inside of you, if you're really honest with it, okay, fine. Then you may not be facing a self-karma. But you're in a world that's in turmoil right now. And many of you are carrying what's in those concentric circles. Now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we want to make very clear that in this graphic, which shows a male form and a female form, we do not wish to communicate or imply that males just may have suppressed anger, grief, and pain, and females have suppressed shame, sadness, and fear. We do not. What we were trying to show here, and when we created this graphic, was from our intimacy course, talking about when two people are radiating these things, they literally press out there and suffuse their energy field, their auric bodies with these. And then it becomes that, you know, this way of bumping against each other and not wanting to get closer or admit to these things. So how do they do it? They do several avoidance tactics, silence, hiding, running to escape. Well, I'm not dealing with those persons. They're unenlightened, you know, or whatever term that you could say instead of rather standing and talking it out, or sometimes throwing a tantrum or attacking people. Those are all karmic creators, and they're inevitable. But if you understand that karma is inevitable on the physical plane, and you are still part of the physical plane, even as old souls, but you ground yourself in the principles of love, purpose, and your sense of values, and what you and those people and things that you cherish, and fight for those, then whatever karmic bonds that happen and or are created, they are much more likely to have formed philanthropic ties to the future, not retributional ones. And that's what you need to understand. Whenever you hear yourself have the fear statement come up, well, I don't want to create karma. That's fear. And again, face it, you know, face everything and rise instead of, you know, fear everything and run. And this is one of the ways that, of course, many, many spiritual seekers do this one, you know, and that is by keeping quiet. If you have to sacrifice your voice to keep the peace, it's no longer peaceful. You're tolerating the chaos outside. And what's happening is you're finding less and less stability inside. So what we're suggesting is you might as well, you know, make the leap. Because, folks, this is something we've said repeatedly. And then we think we may just end the slides here, even though we have more, and you can see them in the further. But the real system that's in crisis, and we have used the terminology of the polycrisis, which is not just ours, but it's been out there in the public domain now for several years. Most of the human institutional crises and human political crises and economic crises and everything that are all happening and are valid in that they have effect on you, none of them is more pertinent, more real, more permanent, and more impactful for what you leave to generations of the future, of which, by the way, many of you will be part of, but that is the destruction of the game board for human souls. And we're talking about planet Earth. And remember what we said in the beginning, Tao is standing back. In spite of the popular, how many of you want to grasp onto, oh, Michael said this, or Michael said that, or my guide said this, or Bashar said that, or whatever spiritual seeker we're saying, we're telling you that it's wishful thinking. There are no guarantees except for the ones that you create through your participation. All of it is Maya. Those are all part of the illusions that many of you use to back away from the responsibility of engagement. And engagement is participation in human reimagining. It's engagement in associating and supporting tasks, ways of being, or group efforts on sometimes very personal local levels that promulgate, you know, the love orientation of community, of neighborliness, of even, as we said in the first few slides, about reforging alliances, but doing so not just for mutual protection, but from mutual principle. And even though there are many things tonight that we would say in addition to this, we think we'll pause and we'll go ahead and we will acknowledge that there are probably many questions out there, unless, again, we have been so complete and so thorough that we've taken all the air out of the room and left you just speechless with either our brilliance or through this sage's ultimate, what should we say, verbosity?